Well, I think a lot of it has to do with North Carolina. I mean, I think when you look at the school, and it goes back to 1992, it's kind of ironic how things become, they turn over, right? So in 1992, we're on the campus of North Carolina. It was cold in Cleveland. We were getting ready for the draft, and we went down there because you're in that research triangle where you have about five different schools that you can scout, right? So we went down there, and we stayed at the Carolina Inn, which is right on campus. We brought Jim Schwartz was our one of our scouting assistants, who's now the defense coordinator of the Browns. We set up a little office down there. We watched tape all day. We went for a jog, went to a baseball game, and we both looked at each other. And this is 1992, and we said, "How the hell can't they win here?" And I think that's a true story, and that is really what sparked this. Is like, you're on that campus and you look around and you say, how can't they win here? And I'm not saying Mac Brown didn't win, but I'm talking about winning at a level to get to this 12-team playoff.
1992, Keith.
What a year.
1992.
Who did they have?
North Carolina?
Now, they were probably recruiting Ed Cota at the time. I don't think they had him yet.
I was trying to think
of who the basketball team had. Because Carter, Antoine Jameson was like 95.
Well, they might have. Been Tar Heels, though.
No, they were 98.
Rick Fox.
Stackhouse. Oh, Rick Fox.
Rick Fox. Eric Montross.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, the 93, they beat the Fab Five in the title game. So it would have been George Lynch.
Weber was calling timeout like a moron. No offense to the Fab Five. I know you're a big fan.
He also traveled. He traveled and then called timeout. It was a tough sequence for my man C-Web.
Wasn't the strongest.
They got a lot out of that team, though.
Oh, yeah.
Fab Five.
Sure.
So they got blitzed by Duke the year before.
Here's how you know. I mean, you already know Lombardi's full of crap.
Yeah.
But here's the reason Bill's at UNC is because no one wants him, okay? Like, all the adults, if we can talk
North
to each
Carolina
other for a second,
wants him. How dare you?
No one in the NFL, I'm sorry, wants him. Right. No high-level college programs want him. So he has to go to a second-rate ACC school like North Carolina. Okay, but here's how you definitively know they're full of crap. All the nonsense. You hear 18 million excuses for why Bill always wanted to do this. Well, look at the Halberstam story. He did.
Yeah, it's very strange.
He wrote Education of a Coach, and Halberstam came away from that thinking that he always wanted to be a college coach. Well, what Halberstam actually said was he wanted to go to an Ivy League school and teach.
He was in the NFL for 50 years.
Okay. That's one, That's one thing you hear. Yeah. The other thing you hear is that, well, his dad coached at UNC one time.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of Bill at Chapel Hill, which honestly, I couldn't even tell that's what it was by the picture. But there's a picture of Bill in black and white from when his dad was there. So he totally wanted to coach. Not Navy. Right. He wanted to coach at Navy where his dad really spent time. This is the place he really wanted to be.
No, it's really
strange. So that's the second thing you hear. The third, not to put you on the spot, Nick, do we have our guy Schefter on the...
I don't know if I can hear this again.
I don't know that this is legal everywhere. Yeah. But
this is a bizarre way to twist yourself into why, like, of course he was going to take the North Carolina
job. He idolizes Paul Brown. What does he want to do again, Shefty? Any ideas on what Bill is looking to do by going to North Carolina and idolizing?
Might be not radio friendly.
Paul Brown.
A reverse Paul Brown.
He wants to do a reverse Paul Brown.
Good Lord.
Disgusting.
Good Lord.
Hang on. Let me get my trash bucket first.
There are kids listening to this.
There's a family show, Schefter.
Yeah, that's
the reverse Paul Brown. If you're unfamiliar with that,
I am.
Do not the worst hole I've ever had.
I am.
Do not Google that on a work computer, please.
No.
As Keith says, don't bing it.
Mm-mm.
The reverse Paul Brown is Paul Brown won a college championship at Ohio State.
Got it.
And then won six in the NFL.
So that's what he's going
Bill
for.
Bill wants to win six in the NFL, go to college and win one.
So why didn't he take a college job last year?
Good question. So there's that. And then Lombardi says, well, in 1992, we were all down there in the research triangle, and we went to a baseball game. We all went for a jog.
That's crazy.
Shut up, Lombardi. You were
jogging. Paul Brown. Mm-hmm.
And then we were all there in 1992, sitting in a room, recruiting Wake Forest and NC State and UNC. We were sitting around going, my God, how could you not win here?
I think it's funny that we're joking about Lombardi, but I think, honestly, he's probably a big part of this story, meaning what NFL team would say yes to Bill Belichick, and on top of that, Mike Lombardi, Matt Patricia, Joe Judge, both Belichick kids, like everything that comes with Bill Belichick, I think is what kind of turned a lot of teams sour.
Yeah.
I think teams in a vacuum would take Bill Belichick the coach, but there's so much more to it. There's the GM, or at least the very, very heavy-handed influence on the GM.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the guys around him. How are you going to leave the franchise, or how are you going to leave the program? Because he was here for 20 years, and it was the greatest dynasty run in the NFL it's ever seen.
And he burned it down 5 years later.
Four wins, and he's out.
Mm-hmm.
The Kraft had to fire him. or mutually part ways. We fired him. He tried to have that one both ways.
He bragged on the Breakfast Club about firing.
So it's like, so it's all of that. And then I think Belichick saw what happened last year, had to have been shocked. Mm-hmm. And maybe this will come out years from now, but he had to be shocked that only one of the seven other teams that had a vacancy even interviewed him, and then he finished fourth or fifth in that running. And then he played it out this year. He did a lot of stuff he probably didn't want to. Manning cast, McAfee, joining Instagram, trying to, like, I think his current call is the old, like, buff and shine. Like, all right, it's a new look Belichick, everybody. And they're waiting around. Crickets. Jets have a job. I don't want to go to the Jets. Jaguars, who knows? Bears probably won't want me. Like, this whole long list of things. And he's like, I want to coach. I'm a coach. I want to keep coaching. Going to have to turn our attention somewhere else. And he goes to North Carolina, which I don't know how else you can spin it other than shocking.
Okay, so if there was a real reason Bill went to UNC, we'd hear one reason. Instead, we hear all this nonsense. Well, his dad was there, and we were there in 1992. And can't you believe they were never a powerhouse? And oh my God, oh by the way, he always wanted to be a college head coach, which I've never heard before. And what was the other? Oh, the reverse Paul Brown.
But also the
most ridiculous.
The Wickersham article also, again, he'll be on 2:30 in the afternoons today, but it also paints it as Bill's telling the NFL to F off. That's one of it. It's like, oh, this is a screw you,
that's
NFL.
That's another one. Good one. So that's a fifth one.
And you're like,
yeah, I don't like what the NFL's become. It's an F you to the NFL. Screw you. I'm going to college to prove what again?
I'm not
going
to return Sidney Sweeney's calls. I want nothing to do with you. I'm going to go over here. So that all seems crazy. Like, and I understand it's definitely a major shot to the ego. But to me, it's super simple. The NFL doesn't want him, but he still wants to coach.
Bang.
He found a college team where
Bingo.
He can coach. That's what it is.
That's all it is. And Reed Wickersham, we'll read you more coming up here in a little bit. He will be on WEEI afternoons at 2:30. Bill Belichick will be introduced at the University of North Carolina at 2 o'clock. That'll be here as well on WEEI. Mark those down. Lots of ways to listen. You can watch on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI and on the Odyssey app. That was Lombardi earlier today on VSiN. He's Bill's GM at the University of North Carolina. VSiN is his former employer, so he did that interview today. He also just wrapped up an interview with McAfee. He did say, this is a good pitch, if you want to play for the greatest coach of all time, please enter the transfer portal. We'll take you.
I'm telling you, they're getting guys.
Okay,
they're getting guys.
They have a $20 million NIL budget from 4 to 20 is one of the things that came out yesterday. I'll get you the reporter in a moment. I forget his name. But that was reported yesterday.
Yeah, they're up in their game. I mean, they clearly are up in their game. They're getting Bill Belichick to coach their football team. So they're up in their game, and they're not just going to stop at that.
They did have some guys leave the portal yesterday to go back to UNC, like an hour after Bill.
Oh, guys who were going to leave out of UNC went back.
Now withdrawing from the portal.
Matt Hayes had that report about the NIL, $20 million. He's a college football writer at USA Today. So you do think they're going to land some guys?
I definitely do. Yeah, I think you look at it.
That's a good pitch, but you have to follow through and pay him, too. They have the budget to do it.
They do.
But you have to follow through and pay him, or you're not going to get him.
I think there's going to be enough guys, too, that they'll get their money, and maybe they could get slightly more to go to, I mean, I don't know, Clemson or whatever. But how can I get to the NFL? If you're a 4- or 5-star recruit coming out of high school, or if you're a guy that thought you should be playing on your current college team more than you are, and you're like, how can I get to the NFL? I think Bill Belichick is a guy that you'd want to play for. I mean, I was looking at the list of some of these other ACC coaches. I mean, like, I think you're picking Bill Belichick over. At least if you're just talking about that conference right there.
Dabo.
Dabo's having a monster
I'm
year.
Taking Dabo.
Clemson's had and they've had a lot of NFL guys. But that's the same idea. Pipeline to the NFL. He's established that.
I'd take Cristobal over him. I'd go to Miami over
you
UNC.
Would?
Yes.
Okay.
They've pumped out a lot of NFL
so
guys,
that's
too.
Two of the 16 ACC schools.
Now, who's at Florida State? Is Norvell back?
Norvell.
Are they switching out?
You know who they just got? Tommy Touchdowns.
Oh, I did see that.
Yeah.
Tommy Castellanos transferred to Florida State.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Bill, like, maybe Bill's third in the ACC. Like, and look, it's the NIL, it's free agency. So if you're going to pay me more, I'll go there.
You like Troy Taylor at Stanford?
I don't.
Or Tony Elliott at Virginia?
I
or
don't.
Brent Pry at Virginia Tech?
I
think he's got a... Or Dave Clawson at Wake Forest.
Ooh, I kind of do like Dave Clawson.
Like,
but you're not picking Dave Clawson over Bill.
I think he's going to get dudes. Deion Sanders tweeted out earlier today, Coach Bill Belichick is a coach's coach to all of us coaches, along with my man Coach Saban. They're game changers, and they know how to move people forward. I know this is a great thing for college football and for North Carolina. God bless you, Coach. If you're happy, I am too. Hashtag Coach Prime.
Now, yeah.
Hashtag Coach Prime.
How many times did he say coach there? Five? Because he said Coach Prime at the end, too.
One, I counted two, five coaches. Three, four, five.
Seven!
Six, if you include the hashtag.
Oh, good.
Well, they're coaches now. Yeah, exactly. Makes sense.
Yeah, but the thing is, Sanders is going to get a job that Bill... Sanders is going to get a coach in the NFL, Deion, and Bill has to go to North Carolina.
What chance do you think Deion is at Colorado next year?
Zero.
Zero.
His kids
are gone. Yeah.
So, I mean, he won't be...
His kids are gone, and Travis Hunter's gone, Jeremy Horn's gone.
He could go to Florida State. You brought this up before. If he doesn't get an NFL gig, Deion or Bill, who are you playing for?
That'd be sweet. Yeah, probably Deion.
Definitely Deion.
Yeah, but there's 150 D1 coaches, okay, so if there's like seven that you'd rather play for.
You framed it earlier as which ACC coach would you rather play for.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's not in the ACC yet. He might go in the NFL, actually.
I'm saying if he's there, though.
And even Dabo Swinney, have you ever heard him talk? I would not want to play for Dabo Swinney.
Well...
He seems obnoxious.
Oh, yeah, Bill's Dabo? Bill's a real walk in the park to play for.
No, maybe not. But I just think like he knows what it takes to be successful in the NFL, and I think that will appeal
Bill
to a lot.
Sprint down the hill at Clemson.
Well, look,
no, I don't. I would recommend he does not do that.
Dabo's putting guys in the NFL left and right.
That's true.
And so Bill knows what it takes to get there. Dabo has a proven track record of doing it. Real quick, because I wanted to get to this. You referenced this a couple of times. This is in the Wickersham story. He'll be on WEI afternoons today at 2:30. The NFL has moved away from the coach-centric model that Belichick learned under Bill Parcells, and there are more layers now. Belichick has insisted to the Falcons last offseason and made it clear to other teams with openings a year ago he was not seeking total control of football ops. He enjoyed for most of his head coaching career, so he wasn't seeking that out, that he enjoyed for most of his career, both in Cleveland and in New England. He was willing to work with existing staff, whether it was Falcons GM Terry Fontenot, or Commanders GM Adam Peters, or Jerry Jones or Howie Roseman, if the Cowboys or Eagles, respectively, had decided to change coaches. So he's telling teams, guys, I'll just coach.
Yeah,
I don't want to sit down with personnel.
No, I think he's telling them that because he thinks that's what they want to hear,
and then
they would hire him. But I think those guys are smart enough to be like, we can't really put our GM in that situation. Like, he's going to get overruled by Bill, or he's going to get strong-armed by Bill.
They are, which is what Wickersham wrote. He said, something about it was always hard to buy, and the owners didn't. It wasn't that Bill was disingenuous or too set in his ways,
right?
It was that if you hire Bill, you hire him to do it his way. Again, this quote I've referenced a couple of times from a Belichick confidant, Lombardi.
Yeah.
Listening to Fontenot discuss drafting systems last January as if he knew it all bothered Bill. So Wickersham goes on to say, imagine the throttled rage inside of him all spring after a group of men who routinely botched their most important hire, these owners, not only mostly ignored him but gloated about it, telling ESPN he was quote-unquote voted off the island. He never forgets. Bill knew that he'd have to compromise to get another NFL job, maybe even more than the year before, and also knew that he faced a league that was skeptical of him. He's disgusted, a confidant says. And so again, the idea is that Bill's going to go prove a point at UNC by doing what? Winning the Fenway Wasabi Bowl.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to get it done. I don't think NFL teams are really going to doubt themselves. I mean, unless Bill literally turns it into Alabama overnight. Like, that'd be the only way that they would be like, holy
smokes. So you think he'll get guys? You don't think he's doing that?
I think they have the ACC kind of stinks. It's not the SEC or the Big Ten. That's where, like, that's the real football conferences are those two. I think the ACC, the ACC title game was a down Clemson and SMU. Mm-hmm. That was the title game this year. Florida State blows now at football. Overnight, they suck. So I think he could, in 2 years, be in the ACC title game, and then therefore, I think he could make the college football playoff.
Okay,
I don't rule it out.
Ready for this?
Yeah.
These are from BetAG.
Yep.
BetOnline AG. North Carolina over-under, 7 wins.
So that's already a lot higher than like Deion's was when he went to Colorado. His was like 3 or 4. So if you take the over on that, I mean, what did they win this year? 6? 2 years ago, they won 8. So,
under.
Yeah. I would take the over only because we did a quick look at their schedule. They don't play any of the – they play Clemson. They play a bunch of scrubby teams, so I would take the over.
Under. Will North Carolina qualify for the college football playoff? 8-1, yes.
No, not next year, no.
Okay. Will North Carolina reach the ACC championship game in 2025? 5-1, yes.
Ooh, that's not bad value. I just don't like the conference that much.
No, me either. How many years will Bill coach at UNC? Over, under 2.5?
Over.
Definitely over.
Over. I mean, he signed a 5-year deal. I bet he coaches at least 3.
Will he coach all 5 years of his contract plus money? Yes, plus 150.
Wow. I mean, he's 72 right now. So will he be 77 and still coaching in college? Like, I guess.
I hadn't seen this one yet.
There's some weird ones on here.
BetOnline.ag, I had not seen this. What will happen first with Bill Belichick's girlfriend?
I mean, this is ridiculous.
One thing I think has never happened and won't. Girlfriend enrolls for class at UNC, minus 120.
That's ridiculous.
Girlfriend dates a UNC football player, minus 120. I would change the wording on dates. But
yeah,
okay,
that's aggressive.
You don't want to make a bet on that one? They're taking them.
No bet.
BetOnline.ag.
No, I'm not betting on that. It's inappropriate.
What will happen first? Belichick fired at the end of the year, or Belichick and his girlfriend break up?
Ooh. Well, he's on a college campus now. She's might be on borrowed time. I mean, like,
there's a lot of girls that look like her at UNC, I would imagine.
I would say.
Yeah, interesting.
And even a couple years younger.
You can also wager on which UNC fraternity Bill Belichick will join. The favorite is Beta Theta Pi.
He's going to join a fraternity?
Sigma Nu, Phi Delta Theta.
Like Frank the Tank?
You imagine? Actually, that's
a
great
idea. Maybe he could.
Bill Lombardi, McDaniels.
That's not a frat I'd want to be in.
They all rush.
No. Yeah. Yeah, no, I think he's going to be decent there, because I think...
Patricia's weensy?
Definitely.
She showed me the knife!
They could... Somebody's going to work on that Photoshop, just like the Animal House.
Great idea.
With all these, with all these guys.
We need somebody. Terp?
Terp, I got Terp. Terp?
You think Terp knows Animal House?
Brian?
No, that's true. Well, maybe not. He might not even know. Old school is 20 years ago.
Old school.
21 years ago.
Terp's never seen a movie.
Van Wilder. I don't think he's seen any of these. What's the most recent frat movie? Are there even frats anymore?
Good question.
Neighbors.
Oh, good.
Oh,
one.
Neighbors was good.
Oh, I liked it.
Hoo-ah!
The De Niro scene.
Hoo-ah! It's not even De Niro.
It's a De Niro party.
De Niro party.
So you got Bill, Patricia,
yeah.
Lombardi, McDaniels, Steve, Brian. They're all rushing a frat.
No offensive guys. Do you think Josh goes with them?
No.
So he needs an offensive guy.
Joe Judge.
Needs an offensive guy.
You brought up Dayball.
Dayball would be a great
Dayball
one
might be in play.
If he gets canned.
He's about to get fired with the Giants, so he might be in play.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. Louis in Amesbury. Go ahead, Louis.
Hello, Louis.
Hey.
Louis?
Louis?
Oh. Yeah, can you hear me?
We got you.
Yeah.
You got me?
Kind of.
You got me?
Kind of.
You got me?
Kind of.
Sort of. Any better?
Yes.
Not really.
Go. All right. Here we go. Pat McAfee show, I saw it early with Lombardi. What a bozo. He believes his own stuff.
Yep, okay.
We go. I like starting a call. Well, a little delayed start.
Yeah, but once you got there,
here we go.
I like that. That's how we start.
I ask all callers.
That's how we start our show every day.
Are you ready?
Well, similar.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
All right, let's see.
All right, here we go.
Here we go. Bobby in Cambridge, hello.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon. Here we go.
You know what? I maybe oversimplify this, but just look at, I'm turning 70 on Christmas and retired from the service, the cops, divorced, the whole bit and everything like that. You know what? I just went back to teaching because I really enjoyed it, you know, with younger cops and whatever and stuff. I mean, could it be as simple as this? This guy could, I mean, I've been a pastor in a long time, the Belichick fan. That he enjoys teaching, he enjoys coaching. Could it just be simple as this? Is that look at
it? Could be.
Guy wants to get that. Dead.
It could be. Why didn't he do it last year?
Well, no, Bobby. Thanks for. We learned a lot about Bobby there.
A lot.
No, I think he does want. It's very clear he wants to coach. I think the NFL doesn't want him, but
the implication there is he wants. He's just. I just want to do this out of the goodness of my heart.
Well, no, you have to go to a place that would want you. It has to be mutually beneficial.
Yeah.
So I think it's that. I think he knew the NFL.
He wants to coach, and this is the best he could do.
Yeah.
What a bozo.
And also, this timing makes it look better for him because you can have all these excuses. It's not like, you know, Black Monday in the NFL came, all these openings are there, and then guys start getting hired. And you're like, still no Bill. He gets out now, and he's like, I always wanted to coach college.
I like the idea of these guys rushing a frat.
Yeah. Patricia would probably be pretty good. Patricia looks like he still lives in a frat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would work out pretty well.
Yeah.
So there you go. Strong call. 617-779-7937. More of those on WEEI
afternoons.
Here we go. You got Bill's press conference live here on WEEI at 2 o'clock. And then you get Seth Wickersham at 2:30. We got you covered all day long on WEEI.
All right. right, it is in time, or in fact time, for Grab Bag. Stuff we couldn't get to the first 3.5 hours of the program here on Jones and Keefe, including the Boston Celtics are in action tonight.
Oh.
Against the Detroit Pistons. No Jason Tatum.
Again.
Right, patella tendinopathy. That's what it says on the old injury report.
Tendinopathy.
Tendinopathy.
That's definitely
Tatum's
it.
Out. Sam Hauser is out. And Jaden Springer with a non-COVID illness is out.
And it's not a back-to-back. I just double-checked. I didn't know if they were playing again tomorrow.
No.
They're not. They don't play again until Saturday. Something's up with Tatum.
So is he a little banged up? Because they usually don't just like straight rest Tatum.
No. They hardly ever do. I give him credit for it. And this is not to make an excuse that like this is why he's playing poorly.
Here
but
comes the excuse making.
He's played poorly in a couple of games recently.
Yeah, shot bad shooting.
Shot it poorly. 6 for 21 against Memphis. 7 for 21 against Miami.
Yeah.
He had a game where he missed in there. He's missing again. So something's up with him. And that doesn't mean the Celtics are screwed or anything, but...
You don't think they're screwed?
I don't.
Okay. Think they're going to be fine against the Pistons?
No, but
it's always something to watch.
No, I mean, yeah. I mean like, long-term... I'm not worried about Tatum suffering a season-ending injury or anything like that, but they're managing something with him. I think that's pretty clear.
I would agree.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the...
Grab bag.
You can't handle the...
Grab bag.
Nice.
Boston Bruins are in action tonight as well. So Celtics at 7:30, and then late 10 o'clock, Bruins Kraken
double dip.
So
Corpy tonight.
Yeah, it's part of this Western road trip. They opened up with an 8-1 stinker to Winnipeg, but yeah, your guy Korpisalo could right the ship for him against a Seattle Kraken squad.
Yeah. Slump buster is what they call him. I asked Razor about this, and you and I didn't really talk about it. An NHL executive texted Greg Wyshynski and said, Kreider for Marchand, who says no? Marchand has 1 year left on his deal.
I kind of think both.
Okay.
So go ahead.
Kreider has 3 years left on his deal. It's basically the same AAV. What the executive said is Marchand would add, like, snarl and attitude to the Rangers. The Bruins would get younger. That was the idea. So you think both would say no?
Yeah, but Kreider's not, like, the youngest guy in the world.
No,
either.
He's a lot younger than Marchand.
Is he?
Yes.
How old is
36. How old is Kreider?
Kreider's not a young pup.
Am I wrong about that?
Kreider's 33.
Yeah, you're right. Not as
33.
That's not as okay. I thought it was a bigger gap than that.
No, I just think like both teams. So it's two guys that are like legends for the team. They've only played for the team. I don't think it's outrageous that either one gets traded. Like, I'm not scoffing at that. I just think for each other seems so dumb.
Yeah.
Like, if you're New York, I don't want I'm not trading Kreider for a 35-year-old snarl guy. I would go for, like, first-round picks and, like, maybe, like, young players.
And you could with
and
that
same
much
same with Marchand. Like, if you decide, and I don't think the Rangers are way worse than the Bruins. But if the Bruins decide, hey, we don't have it, aren't you maximizing your return, like, with young guys and picks for Marchand than, like, bringing in Kreider? I know he's a local guy and all that, but.
To answer the question, if anybody's going to say no, and I love Marchand, I think the Rangers say no, but. If you're trading Marchand, I think you're not doing it in a hockey trade. You're doing it to get, because you're
picks,
out of it and getting picks and a prospect.
Young guys, stuff like that.
I'm getting
grab bag
for Christmas.
Fitzy will be on the afternoon show today, by the way.
Oh, Fitzy and...
Yeah. Fitzy and Arcan.
Fitzy
and Arcan, I believe, today. 2 o'clock, Bill Belichick presser at North Carolina, and then 2:30,
oh, nice.
Seth Wickersham.
It's good. Andy Hart covered Bill for many, many years. Good day to be out.
So he's out.
Yeah.
Thursday Night Football, Jones, week 15 in the NFL, kicks off tonight, and you got yourself a doozy, a real important game in the NFC West. The 7-6 Rams at the 6-7 49ers, who are 3-point favorites at home.
Fun game, I think.
Yeah.
I'm hoping anyway. The Niners have been very up and down. They played well last week against the Bears. I totally saw that coming.
Yep.
Rams have been trending upwards. It's a high over-under on Thursday Night Football. I heard Shimes say this morning. I think he's right. We've actually had some good Thursday Night games this year, and I think this could be another one. The Lions and Packers was great last week.
Yep.
I would lean Rams in this matchup, but it should be a good one.
Grab bag.
We're talking about college football today because Bill Belichick's going back to school at North Carolina. How about Rich Rodriguez returning to West Virginia?
Honestly, tremendous hire. I'm not joking.
Going back.
I'm not going to say better than Bill at UNC, but Rich Rod was great at West Virginia.
How did he do after that?
I don't even know where he's been.
Remember? Well, he went to Michigan and he was a disaster at Michigan. And then there was something, he like sued the school, didn't he?
Was he at Jacksonville State?
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
He was at Jacksonville State.
Yeah. I mean, I like Rich Rodgers.
That was like, who's the other guy that went back? Oh, was it Shiano went back, right?
Shiano's back at
Rutgers. A few guys have gone back.
Yeah.
Arkansas? Did?
Yes. No, Auburn. Didn't they get a guy back?
Yeah, I think like this is not unprecedented by any means.
No.
Yeah, no, Rich Rodriguez, because was he with like the Pat White, Steve Slayton, West Virginia teams, which were great?
Not Geno Smith. He wasn't still around for Geno, but before that. Yep.
3 years at Michigan where they had a losing year every year.
Okay.
Then he went to Arizona for 6 years.
Oh, he was at Arizona. I don't even remember that.
And then Jacksonville State. And then now he's going back to West Virginia.
Well, maybe less of a great hire than I thought. Yeah. By the way, speaking of Bill going back to school and talking about all the guys rushing a frat.
Yeah.
Old school style.
Yeah.
Text line did say Ernie Adams is blue.
Oh, my God. You see him in, like, the jelly wrestling or whatever? Get him in the little pool.
Turp and Brian.
Go ahead, Blue. Do something.
I don't know.
Ernie, go get her.
I don't know if you've already worked on the meme, but we got to get Ernie Adams as Blue into the old school meme. We got to do that.
Let the grab hit the bag. Let the grab hit the bag. Let the grab hit the bag. Let the grab hit the bag!
He does work up to it. Yeah. Now's as good a time as any, Jones, to talk about our show outing last night.
Oh,
Level 99, the five of us, you, me, Terp, Billy, and Nick, went out to Level 99, which I've never been to before, at the Natick Mall, and were escape rooms. There was also duels. We posted a good amount of it. We didn't want to just be like walking around filming the whole thing, but we filmed some of the duels, some of the challenges. So if you go to our Instagram, Jones and Keefe, or you can go to @RichKeefe, WEEI on Instagram, you can see some of the stuff. But some of the escape rooms and stuff. Now, we were warned before we went that it can be dangerous.
Yeah, and we're like, how? How is it going to be dangerous?
I get it.
I now know.
I get it. There's some stuff that, like, maybe if you're a little bit younger, like, you might be a little bit more flexible or whatever. But there is some stuff where, like classic floors lava stuff.
Yep.
And you're trying to stay on the side and you're trying to make a jump. Like, at this age, I'm not trying to make a jump.
No.
Days of making a jump are behind me.
I could see blowing out at Achilles, although Nick threw that through the pirate window.
He did. He got through there. I hit the side.
Sacrificed a knee for it.
I hit the side. Nick didn't
get feeling it today.
Yeah. Oh, no. But it was like impressively athletic when Nick did that
Nick
last night.
Nick got up and through.
I was more gassed at anything, Keith, or the most tired I was, is when you and I did. There was like kind of a, you had to throw a ball through like a hole. The other person was like blocking the goals on the other side, and then you had to throw it through.
Variation of dodgeball.
Thank you, but there were points for throwing.
But you can't like duck down or pick up the ball, throw the ball. That was hard. There's
probably,
also the
probably
one,
2 minutes. I had to, no joke, had to sit down and like breathe heavy and sweat everywhere.
I agree.
Yeah.
There was also one where you stand on opposite sides. You're actually facing each other, and there are a bunch of buttons that light up.
Oh yeah,
and you have to hit them before the other person hits them. It's a minute and a half. It felt like an hour and a half.
I came back and I beat Terp at the tail end of that. But
Terp choked that one away.
I got sweaty.
I'm not joking. I have bruised palms from that. And there's no other reason why I could possibly have bruised palms.
Definitely not.
Both of them.
Yep.
I have bruises on each palm from that game. I was hitting the button so hard.
That is a real problem.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was a good,
excellent
good time.
Time.
Good time. Great time. By all.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach.
Let's check out the best NBA player performances from last night. Jones, we'll give you a few guys because there's only two games. We have the dude from Houston, Alperen Şengün, had another monster game, 26-11 for the Rockets and a win over the Warriors.
Kerr's pissed about it.
Yep. Josh Hart, 21-8-6 for the Knicks. They lost to the Hawks. Jalen Johnson, 21-15-7.
That's my pick.
Karl-Anthony Towns, 19-5.
Loss.
And then Trae Young, 22-5-11.
Give me Jalen Johnson.
Right.
Played well against the Celtics. I like him. He was great last night. Give it to me.
Right. It's time for Jones and Keefe's random.
Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
Oh, I love this. We're getting early guesses on the baseball player of the day on the text line.
Well, I know somebody early on assumed it was Craig Breslow.
It's not Craig Breslow.
Okay.
It's also not going to be Tony Graffanino, but that's a great one. That one, it should have been Tony Graffanino.
Let me tell you, in the next week or two, it's going to be Tony
Graffanino. I'm pissed that I didn't pick Tony Graffanino. All right, I have a third baseman. Also, you might catch him playing a little bit of first base. More first base than I thought. Third base, first base.
Both hot corners.
Outfield.
Okay.
Also caught some games.
Okay, so
Mike Napoli.
How do we not know?
Ooh, good one.
That is a very good guess.
Good. Wow. Guess. Tony Bautista.
Tony Bautista. Got it. Yeah, yeah.
Guesses are flying in. One-time All-Star. It was in the 2001 season. Played for the Padres, Tigers, Rangers, Angels, Cubs, Astros, Twins.
Say those again.
Padres, Tigers, Rangers, Angels, Cubs, Astros, Twins.
Okay.
Vast majority of his career with the Padres.
All-Star with the Padres?
All-Star with the Padres.
Was
in 01.
Was he a teammate of Bip Roberts?
Probably was with Bip, but some overlap with Bip Roberts, okay. I would hope. That year, he had a career-high 41 Long Johnsons. Previous high was the year before with 31. Everything else in the 20s or lower. But he went off in 01. 41 and 126. He hit 306.
01.
With a 976 OPS.
And I'm sorry, that was his All-Star year 01?
Yes.
With the Padres, third base.
21st in the MVP, if that helps.
Why am I so bad at this?
Right-handed stick.
41 dongs we should have.
41 dongs in
01? 01, right, exactly.
That's just another player.
Yeah, that's just,
that was like the
that's a jag.
That was like
right
the
there.
Median homer.
That's regular dude. Way to go. 41 homers. Great. You're fourth on the team.
I mean, I know it's wrong. I want to say like Caminiti. That's not right.
No, the late Ken Caminiti, it is not. This guy is still with us.
I'm happy for that.
He wore a variety of numbers, so that probably won't even help you.
No,
let's see. After the 06 season. Oh, he started in 95, ended in 06. That was the run.
Oh, so text line guest. I'm now looking at text line. Text line guest Caminiti,
nope.
Which we know is wrong. Phil Nevin?
He got it!
Phil Nevin. Phil the Thrill Nevin.
I don't remember him as much at third. I remember him more at first.
I remember him at third, but I guess
I don't remember 41 home run season.
Yeah, well, fair. Very fair.
Nickname? Wow. Nev. That's what they called him.
Campbell? It's creative.
So his kid, Tyler Nevin, played, actually is still in the league.
Multiple names on the text line got it. Twitch chat was a bunch of people
on
the
it.
Twitch chat, including Clappy Cheeks 10.
Way to go, Clappy.
E from Brockton.
Good stuff.
Dubs 985. Shines Potatoes.
Got it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. E from Brockton also said it was easy.
Mm-hmm.
So how dare I? I barely even had a guess. Mm-hmm. Oh, but there you go. Random baseball player of the day. Each and every day here on Jones and Keefe. 617-779-7937. You can jump in there. Busy day on WEEI Afternoons. No Andy Hart, but you got Arcan. You got Fitzy. Bill's press conference live at 2. You got Seth Wickersham live at 2:30. Stay tuned to WEEI. We'll get you the clip du jour next.
Back!
All right, time for the clip du jour here on Jones and Keefe. Jones, you ready for that?
Sounds wonderful. What's the clip du jour?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the clip of the day. And today, it is part of our conversation with Red Sox Chief Baseball Officer Craig Breslow.
Not high on Bloom.
Busy guy.
Yes.
No, we didn't have Bloom today. We had Craig Breslow. Winter meetings going on. Just struck a trade for Garrett Crochet yesterday, so we had the opportunity to talk to him. You can check out the full interview on the Odyssey app. You can check it out on YouTube or, you know, wherever you listen to our show after the show. But here is my question about Crochet and maybe any kind of future contract that he may or may not require. You know, there was a lot said about Garrett Crochet last year at the trade deadline. Is it to your understanding that he will pitch under this current contract, or is he going to need a new contract?
No, I mean, we are, you know, looking at this as right now we've got a guy that's got 2 years of control, and, you know, we are approaching this with no restrictions. Obviously, anything beyond that we'll explore when the time is right. But right now we're focused on 25 and 26 and being able to write his name in at the top of the rotation.
But there was no, you know, understanding that when you traded for him that he wouldn't pitch unless he had a new deal, because that was some of the conversation last year at the trade deadline. If he went to a contender, he wasn't going to throw unless he got a brand new deal.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I am concerned, this is a guy who has a full season as a starter under his belt and someone that's ready to take on the full workload of a true ace.
Okay, so that the ace part is nice, Keith.
Yeah, I like that.
That doesn't sound like a guy who's getting a contract.
No.
Now,
did he change his tune? Was that just, I don't know, and somebody will catch up with.
He meaning Crochet.
Crochet.
Yeah.
Like Crochet at some point, because it is not something you commonly hear in baseball.
Nope.
I mean, Chris Sale, great example, a lot of parallels between the two, franchise, the strikeout pitcher, all that. He was not making as much money as he should have been, and then later got the massive contract. But he played it out. So will Crochet play it out? Maybe that was just something he was saying to teams at the deadline who were like, hey, we might need you to pitch down the stretch, so we can't have an innings limit for you. Like, we want you to be a real starter, not a four-inning starter.
Yeah.
But maybe now, you know, the fact that Breslow said at the end of that he's ready for, like, a full workload, no, so that, maybe no inning restriction. That's good.
That's encouraging, but if he works out, and look, maybe you want to protect...
sign with the Dodgers in 2 years?
But if you want to protect yourself from all of these red flags we've detailed, which I think are real with him, I think he's worth the risk. I love the move, but... if you want to protect yourself, you don't pay him right now. You say, let's play it out. Part of the reason that we paid the freight is because he is cheap right now, so let's use that to our advantage. Fine. I mean, I get that. I would pay him right now because if he does what you think he's going to do, the price only goes up and he becomes more and more difficult to sign, and now is going to be the easiest time to sign him. So I would sign him right now, and I'm not encouraged by that answer. Look, if they got to pay him in 2 years, Keith, $500 million or something like that.
Who knows what it'll be
then? No skin off my ass. I don't care. But if John Henry doesn't want to spend that on a pitcher, he doesn't want to spend $218 on Max Fried. He doesn't want to spend $300 on Corbin Burns. Never mind $765 on Juan Soto. If you don't want to spend that and the idea is to save some money long term, I would pay him now. So
they just did this with Xander Bogaerts, and you know it wasn't Craig Breslow, but they could have re-upped him earlier. And it might have been half of what he got.
Yeah.
So even a player like him, and maybe they dodged the bullet. Maybe he's like, you know, maybe his career is washed. He's already moved to second base and all this other stuff. But the point is, if you get to some of these guys early, they're willing to sign it, give up a couple of those arbitration years, make a lot more money in the meantime, and then you don't have to get saddled with $500 million contract in 2 years. Or you play it out. And, you know, part of the process of playing it out might be Breslow saying, all right, let's see him pitch as an ace for a full year and see how it goes. See if you can get to 180, 200 innings. But then if he does that, now if you're Crochet, aren't you thinking, I'm only 1 year away?
Yeah.
I'm 1 year away from making a cashing in.
I get it. He could blow out his arm in his first start, and now you're paying him $25 million a year or something like that, and you know you feel like you're on the hook for it. I get that. But if he is what Craig Breslow thinks he is, he's your ace and he's the top of the rotation, then I think that's a dangerous game to play. And I hope they're not done. I also was discouraged by listening to Craig Breslow today. I was hoping he would sound more encouraging, and maybe he's just playing possum, about adding one of these Mariners pitchers or even adding a guy less likely like Corbin Burns in free agency. I don't get the sense they're making another move like that, but you do. You're confident they're going to do that.
I don't think they're getting Burns, but I think they're going to make another trade. I'm more confident in a trade because they were willing to trade Kyle Teal. So that means now I don't think they necessarily dip into the top three, but they're willing to move on from some of those guys. Breslow said the other day, like, hey, at this time of year, you got to get uncomfortable. And a lot of us took that to mean spending real money, like $200, $300 million is uncomfortable. But so is trading away your top prospects. And so he traded away three of the team's top eight prospects to get one player. So that had to be a little uncomfortable. And so maybe they're not done there.
No,
I'm hopeful that they're not.
I hope that's what they're doing. So that is available on the Odyssey app. You can watch it on YouTube, our full interview with Red Sox Chief Baseball Officer Craig Breslow. It's a busy day on EEI. WEEI Afternoons with Arcan and Fitzy. They're going to start with the Bill Belichick press conference live from Chapel Hill. Comes your way less than 5 minutes from now. And on top of that, you're going to get Seth Wickersham, author of the latest on Bill Belichick, his FU to the NFL. That's at 2:30. Mark it all down. Stay tuned for all of it. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a Patriots Friday here on WEEI.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.